All right, hi everybody. Thanks so much for coming to this afternoon's panel. I'll just start by introducing myself. I'm Lisa Crapo from Samuels & Associates, and I'm going to be talking with you today about the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation and our policy-focused grant making to improve access to healthy food and physical activity. So you might be wondering, why is someone from Samuels & Associates talking about the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation? And I'll just let you know that Samuels & Associates are consultants to the foundation, and we act as an external program office for their grant making around healthcare. So I don't have anything to disclose here, or at least I already disclosed it. And before I begin, I'd just like to thank a bunch of people. So first of all, I'd like to thank the staff and the board of the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation. With our work under the Innovation Fund, we have pushed the foundation to look at things in a bit different light and to move in some new directions. And our work with the Innovation Fund has really been instrumental in moving the foundation to a focus on working on the built environment and a stronger focus on policy change to really improve food and physical activity access for low-income communities in Los Angeles. And the board is excited about this work and is a real partner in this work. I'd also like to thank the grantees of the foundation, a number of which I'll be talking about today. And then, of course, I'd like to thank Shireen and the folks at the Convergence Innovation Fund for having us be part of this exciting work. All right, so first I'd like to tell you a little bit about the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation. So the foundation was started to continue the philanthropic efforts of Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert. And the foundation funds in a number of diverse areas. So the mission is to invest in programs that promote education, tolerance, social services, healthcare, and the arts. And within the healthcare area, we have two areas of focus. We have diabetes and obesity prevention, type 2 diabetes particularly, and Alzheimer's disease research and caregiving. So today I'm going to focus our talk on the diabetes and obesity prevention work. Within that topic area, we have really focused all of our diabetes and obesity grant making on very upstream primary prevention activities. And all of our programs, even before our involvement in the Innovation Fund, had an environmental and policy change angle. They all focused on improving access to healthy food and physical activity, but they didn't necessarily focus on built environment and land use. And then finally, the foundation's funding in diabetes and obesity has really been focused in Southern California, where the foundation resides, primarily in Los Angeles County, although we have had some grants that have more of a statewide support function, and we've also done a project in Israel, and Israel is another focus area of the foundation's grant making. So we're combining two grant making initiatives there. All right, I'd like to now go into talking about some of the examples of our grantee projects. And I'll be talking about two projects that received matching funds from the Innovations Fund, as well as one other project that also exemplifies our strategic grant making to really promote policy to address diabetes and obesity prevention. And all of the projects that I'll be talking about fit with the Convergence Innovation Fund framework. So they are equity focused and really work with a variety of ethnic populations that live in some of Los Angeles's lowest income communities who have very little resources in terms of access to physical activity space or healthy food, and who as a result have some of the highest rates of diabetes and obesity. All of these projects bring together professionals from diverse fields, partnerships between health and education, or partnerships between planners, urban planners, environmental advocates, and public health advocates. So we really are looking to work across sectors to address the very complicated issues around food and physical activity. And finally, all of our projects are working to engage community members in the policy change process to really give the community a voice and make them active players in the change process. So the first project I'd like to talk with you about is the City Project. And I'll say that for anyone who has the opportunity to hear Robert Garcia, the City Project's executive director, speak, you definitely should do that. He can describe the work of the City Project in a much more eloquent and passionate way than I can. But I will just very briefly describe here what they've been doing with funding from our foundation as well as the matching funds from the Innovations Fund. So the City Project's objective is to make sure that park and open space is available for all, regardless of their ethnicity or the income level of the community they reside in. And they've developed a very effective policy approach to do this. First, they do research to really identify and uncover the disparities that exist in terms of access to parks, whether it's communities that don't have any parks at all, whether it's the state closing parks that low-income communities use, or whether it's an issue even like how physical education happens in schools in low-income communities, and are those schools really following state standards around physical education. So they do this research, and then they prepare very readable reports that describe the disparities, and these are widely distributed to a variety of audiences, which include policymakers, advocates, and community groups. Once these reports are distributed, then they really work to advocate for change to address the disparities. And this advocacy takes a couple of different avenues. One is mobilization of community members. And they work very closely with a number of grassroots community groups to get their members educated on policy issues, active in terms of presenting to boards or policymakers, doing letter writing campaigns, and really understanding the issues around park disparities and physical activity disparities. And an interesting example of this type of partnership is their work with a Los Angeles Youth Soccer League. This is a youth soccer league that's primarily made up of Latino families, and it's a soccer league. But the City Project has developed a partnership with the soccer league and really mobilized them around the park issue. They are obviously concerned about parks initially because they need a place to play soccer. But the City Project has been able to engage them in these issues and really mobilize them as advocates for park access in the community. And they present at boards, do letter writing campaigns, and both the parents and the youth are involved in these efforts. The City Project is staffed primarily by attorneys. Robert Garcia, their ED, is an attorney. And so they also are not afraid to use the threat of a lawsuit, definitely judiciously, and I will say without our foundation's funding. But they have used the threat of lawsuits very effectively to push policy issues. And an example of this is within the Los Angeles Unified School District. There was a situation where the district was not enforcing state physical education code, and this was primarily affecting low-income students, Latino students. And so the City Project used the threat of a lawsuit to push the school district to adopt a physical education policy called their PE motion that really laid out how the school district was in fact going to change their usual practice to assure that these low-income students of color would receive adequate and quality physical education during the school day. And then finally, I'd like to just talk about how the City Project has really been successful in framing both park and physical activity access as an issue of civil rights. By really airing the disparities that are going on in communities, they've been able to show that higher income communities and white communities have resources, have funding, have access to parks and physical activity space. Low-income and communities of color don't. And the civil rights issue allows for legal levers and other pressures that can help push these issues forward. The next grantee I'll talk about is also a recipient of Innovation Fund matching funds, and this is the LA County Office of Education and their partner organization, the LA County Education Foundation. So this grant was a little bit different. The LA County Office of Education had received funding from the LA County Public Health Department through their CPPW funds to do work in schools around healthy food access and physical activity. However, of course, the funding wasn't sufficient to really do a comprehensive program. And what they were really missing was the policy component of this work. So the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, with matching funds from Convergence, stepped in and provided funds for a policy wraparound to support the physical activity and food work that was going on. And we felt that this was very important because all of the change that was going to happen in the participating school districts needed to be solidified in policy so that when the CPPW funds went away, which is now quite soon, these changes would be on the books, this practice would be on the books, and we are hoping that the changes that are made will continue to happen well into the future. So what the LA County Office of Education has done is, with the funding that they've received from our foundation, is worked with 7 school districts outside of LAUSD, Los Angeles Unified School District. Now, that's an important point because within LA, a lot of the work in schools often happens within LAUSD, which is the second largest school district in the country. It gets a lot of attention, has a lot of issues. But we felt that it was very important to really support work that was going on in smaller districts that are still extremely low income, and these smaller districts have some of the highest rates of childhood overweight in LA County. And to support the sort of on-the-ground practice changes that the CPPW funds were helping to initiate, we supported the Office of Ed to really put a strong policy approach in place. And what the Office of Ed is doing is they're working with school districts to help them to develop coordinated school health councils and essentially school wellness leaders who will push for policy change at the school and district level. And these wellness leaders include both teachers and staff as well as parents and youth. So the Los Angeles County Office of Ed is in essentially finishing up the first year of what is a 2-year project. And they have recruited the school districts to work with them. The school districts have developed these policy teams. Los Angeles County Office of Ed has done trainings for the folks involved in the policy teams around, you know, what are nutrition and physical activity policy approaches for school districts, what's been successful, who needs to be involved. And they've worked with these teams to come up with policy action plans where they have identified a particular issue that needs to be addressed, they've identified stakeholders that need to be involved, they've identified the policy strategies that they would like to implement, and the action steps. So they're just starting now their implementation process, and the Office of Ed will continue to provide technical assistance both as a group as well as on an individual basis to these schools. The final grantee I'd like to describe is actually a grantee that was not funded through the Innovations Matching Fund, but it's a really good example, again, of how we very intentionally supported a policy effort that would help solidify some practices that were going on the ground. And this is the Joint Use Task Force, and this is a statewide task force in California to really promote joint use as a way to make physical activity spaces available to communities that don't have them. So just for those of you, does everybody know the term joint use and what that means? Let's see, hands. No. Okay, so let me describe joint use. So in a lot of low resource communities in California, a school is the only place in the community that has space for physical activity, whether it's the schoolyard for outdoor physical activity, or even perhaps a gym or a pool for indoor activities. And oftentimes, the schools are locked up during non-school hours. So that means that nobody can come and use a field or use the yard or other facilities. And what joint use does, it's a formal agreement that says that the school or perhaps the district will open up their school gates and allow other organizations or perhaps even community members on their own to come in and use the school properties during non-school hours. So it's a very important way to give low-income communities access to physical activity space. And in California, there were some communities where joint use was going on, had been going on for years, but there were many communities where joint use had never happened, was never going to happen, the schools were locked down tight, and communities couldn't use the facilities. And then there were even other communities where some schools, and oftentimes schools in the higher income neighborhoods, were actually open for community to use, but other schools in the district were not open, and often those were those in lower income communities. So joint use is a big issue in California, and there was a real need to help communities who wanted to get joint use in place to be able to do this. So the Joint Use Task Force was a statewide task force that brought together advocates and experts who were interested and knowledgeable about joint use. And it was a really important place to identify kind of the best practices and the most appropriate environmental change and policy solutions. The Joint Use Task Force worked to synthesize the research on joint use, particularly around the barriers to, you know, why schools didn't want joint use and to develop arguments to overcome these barriers. And they also captured the stories of those communities who had been successful in implementing joint use. Because what we've heard over and over again is that one city or town wants to hear about another city or town that's like them who's been able to do this. And that's what will allow them the courage to move forward and say, yes, if it works for town over here, it's going to work for us. So the Joint Use Task Force, aside from bringing together these experts to really be able to discuss the issue and to come up with best practices, also created a website that's a hub for resources around joint use for communities across the state. It includes photo voice projects that were done by youth that describe either issues around lack of access to physical activity spaces or success stories in communities that already have joint use. And the task force was able to mobilize and meet with a number of statewide policymakers, present policy recommendations, and really get joint use on the radar of some very high state-level officials, including the governor. So overall, our successes with this policy-focused grant-making include that our grantees have been very successful in mobilizing and engaging both youth and adults to become a part of the policy process, and that they're really able to talk about policy issues and propose policy solutions. We've also been fortunate to actually make some changes on the ground. So our policy has resulted in noticeable changes in communities. And this includes things like new parks, new joint use policies, as well as new policies within school districts around food and physical activity. There have, of course, been challenges. The City Project, although they have framed park access and physical activity access as a civil rights issue, have had a lot of trouble getting the Los Angeles County and city government agencies to really internalize this view and act on the issues around equal access to physical activity spaces. And then finally, work in schools has really been impacted by the financial crisis, and schools in California, you know, lack both the capacity due to loss of staff as well as a willingness to really move forward with nutrition and physical activity, which they see as tangential to their education mission. So finally, a few of the lessons we've learned around this policy-focused grant making is that we've been most successful when we funded projects that really provide an institutional home for nutrition and physical activity policy change. And we've also been successful when we funded projects that build capacity among government agencies and community groups to really carefully address nutrition and physical activity in a comprehensive way. We've really worked to tie nutrition and physical activity to broader community issues, so civil rights and education, and again, taking a holistic approach rather than a segmented approach has really helped the work, as well as building partnerships across sectors so that we have all of the different professionals and folks that care about an issue from various angles working together. So I'll be happy to take questions after our last panelist goes, and everybody should feel free to contact me if you'd like to learn more about the work that we've done.